push me to the wall. Won't you push me ring by my neck for you? What will they be like you? Incredible eyes, incredible. But you believe your eyes, your face is glowing.
Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Wednesday, March 16th, tune in to all sorts of live programs at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. Mayuka Fujino is live in the WGXC Acra studio with Mirage Station. Then at noon, Spike Priggen is live from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill for 2 hours of the Bedazzled Radio Hour. At 4 p.m., I'm live in Acra with the WGXC Afternoon Show. 7 p.m., we're live from New York City with the Off the Hook Show, simulcast on WBAI from the 2600 Hacker Collective. At 8 p.m., it's time for Rock and Roll High School, live from Hudson, with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya. At 10 p.m., Jeff Economy is live from Ulster County with Snack Point Charlie. And at midnight, Peter Aaron is live from Ulster County with Go Go Kitty, simulcast on Radio Kingston and live on WGXC 90.7 FM until 2 a.m.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
On the wall. Ain't you glad? That was Lead Belly. Welcome to Ginger Radio Hour. I'm Justin Maiman. You're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. And speaking of Acra, today, one of Acra's very own, the poet and musician Cornelius Eady. We'll be talking about his poetry, his collection Hard Headed Weather, and his very new album with the Cornelius Eady Trio. More importantly, I get to speak directly to Cornelius about something that's really important to me, which is the role of luck in a writing career and the role of mentors and teachers. And we have this really wonderful conversation that I'm going to play a clip from later this hour. But one of the wonderful things about Cornelius is music is always on his mind, and it's always in his poetry as well. So what I've done is I developed a whole playlist today for the show, which features artists mentioned in his poetry. You'll recognize all of them, of course. The first we heard today was Lead Belly with the song Ain't You Glad. And now, some Miles. Thank you.
station. Give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party. Try to get in touch with me. She could not leave her number, but I know who placed the call. 'Cause my uncle took the message and he wrote it on the wall. Help me, information, get in touch with my love.
That voice. Billie Holiday on vinyl with the song Don't Explain. Before that, Chuck Berry with Memphis, Tennessee. And of course, before that, Miles Davis, the album Nefertiti, the song Nefertiti. An album I got 9 years ago this month on my birthday from the lovely N, and we carried it around Turkey and Israel as we traveled. I don't recommend traveling with vinyl, but we got it back here, and what a wonderful album. So, as I told you, we're going to hear both some poetry and some music from Cornelius Edie today. First, let's hear a track from his new album. The album is called Don't Get Dead. We're going to talk much more about that. I'm going to play a track called Waited Too Long.
Waiting on a ship, waiting for a humble endings you'll never begin.
Cornelius Edie Trio. The song Waited Too Long from the album Don't Get Dead. I bought the album on Bandcamp. You should too. But in addition, Cornelius told me it will soon be available on CD and vinyl. I think this spring. So, also, he and the Cornelius Edie Trio, Lisa and Charlie, are playing at Big Ears in Tennessee in a couple weeks, so check that out. So, before I get ahead of myself and talk about this album, I'd prefer to let Cornelius talk about it. Again, the name of the album is Don't Get Dead, and here he is explaining just what that means.
The title song, Don't Get Dead, comes about from a friend of mine, a poet friend of mine who lives in Pittsburgh. And we'd be exchanging our emails. And after she started to sign off her emails with saying, you know, see, catch you later, don't get dead. We'd have weekly band meetings, you know, on Zoom or FaceTime, you know, and I started using it. We all picked it up. Yeah, don't see you next week. Don't get dead. Right? But that's really the point. Don't get dead was really what it was. So we just, you know, worked on it. Luckily for all of us, like to go back to talk about what I was saying about technology had gotten to the point where we all could record in our different locations and still mix everything together. And luckily they both had recording equipment because they're both working musicians. They do other things besides, you know, play with, you know, in the trio. So they were able to, we learned as we went along. Charlie and Lisa learned how to mix. Really, I mean, really seriously mixed. Charlie did it so well that he now has a side gig, you know, as a producer and an engineer. He's engineered. He's done nothing but he's had projects that hasn't played a note on, but simply engineered. Right, right. And also there was a couple of things that were surprising about Charlie that I didn't realize, that Charlie actually is a great bass player. I mean, you know, up until this point, we would play, and we still do, is just me singing with Charlie and Lisa accompanying me, just the three of us, and you know, with no other rhythm sections or anything. Occasionally, Conchetta on violin, and doing these sessions, you know, going back and forth silently, I realized that Charlie could play bass, right? I mean, really play bass, right? And he's playing bass so well now that he also has a side gig now as a bass player. so him and Lisa really learned how to do the science of sound in a way, right? How to put these things together. And we, you know, that was our year. We just went through all this stuff together. And it helped get us through.
So did you, when you actually recorded, were you in the same place or were you kind of handing in your sessions, and then
I was right where you see me, right where we see this in this room, where all my vocals took place. I did my demos here, I send them over, and then this right in this room. This is where I'm actually on Long Island. I'm on a little town called Cinema Riches. Got the house when I came back to teach at Stony Brook, for 2 years, but still have so. And my mother-in-law, Carolyn Nicklin, who was our director for Kabi Kana, retired, lives with us here. So, we actually have an apartment we've been renting since 1989 in the West Village. That's really where my wife and I feel like that's our home. But when things started to collapse in March 2020, we realized we had to make a decision about whether we were going to stay there, or at least Carolyn to herself, or we were going to come down here. We chose to come over to Long Island, which was the right decision. But so this is everything. I don't want to pan out because the room is a mess, but off to my left here, is the recording microphone with my headphones and all this other stuff. I have a mini studio here. Well, not only did we start doing recording the songs, but we also started recording videos. We did start getting gigs, but the gigs were all online, right? Which was a really strange kind of transformation, right? So with that, we played the Poets and Writers Gala. We played other poetry venues. We played the benefit for Bola Books in Rochester, celebrating Lucille Clifton, and we figured out how to do video editing too. So we have a slew of videos that we made over the years as well, and we performed. Again, we didn't stop performing again in person until last Memorial Day. That was the first time that we actually got back together to start playing. And then we started playing, we're going to do the Big Ears, in a couple of weeks. We're going to go off and do something up in Pennsylvania and perhaps in Charleston, South Carolina. The gigs have been slowly coming, back to, we played a Blue Plate Special in Knoxville, a wonderful music show that's on the NPR station there, live. And we're getting back to, playing again, which is really fun.
So what would you say right now? Are you in a full musician moment, or are you also writing poetry at the same time?
I'm doing a lot,
I'm doing a lot.
I'm teaching at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. This is why I'm in Knoxville. That's why I'm teaching in Knoxville. Mostly I've been Zooming my classes in because still COVID is still pretty, still out there, especially in Tennessee. But I've been doing that. I also took the interim directorship at Poets House. While Poets House gets itself together and gets to a national search for a permanent executive director and repairs the building that had some water damage, massive water damage after a couple of storms hit it. So I'm doing that and I'm doing, that and I'm doing, the band. So it's pretty busy these days.
It sounds incredibly busy. I wondered, boy, there's so many good songs on that album. What one of my favorites is Nurse Redline.
Ah, yes. Yes. I wrote that when I was teaching at Stony Brook, an undergrad class. It was just before classes stopped, and went online. And just maybe a week or two before that actually happened. And this was during the time when, it was just, the hospital ships were in New York Harbor, and all this stuff was going on, and the refrigerator trucks were at the back of the hospitals piling up stuff, and the governor was saying that they had gotten a handle on the PPEs, right, the personal protective gear, but I had a student in that class, in my undergrad class, who actually worked at Stony Brook Hospital. And she was told us that at that particular moment, they were using garbage bags as PPEs, right? It was just like, you know, they were just doing that. And I just was thinking about just how rough that was, right? You could see the exhaustion on her, right? Just like, she saw too much, she was seeing too much. And that was definitely one of the triggers to write that song, right? And it was just sort of like a response to this, what it must be like to have to go through that day after day with all this stuff and not really being able to get ahead of it, you know? So that was, the genesis of that song.
The lyrics are very intense, but also the beat is great. It's got a good beat.
It's got a great beat. They're very good. I think that's driven by Lisa's piano on that one. That's right. We found different ways of doing that. Charlie also doubles on percussion, which he's not a bad percussionist as well. And that was how we were trying to figure out, what the arrangement was going to be. I give them the demo, which I usually composed either on guitar or dulcimer. And I would just give them the demo and they would just go work on the arrangement and they come back with these really great, negotiations between the two of them. Right. So Lisa leaned more on keyboards for this. Charlie leaned more on bass and percussion for a lot of the tracks, so you can see that, it wouldn't have been the same if we just kept it as a, well, we have done, we do. If I take that back, I was about to say, it wouldn't sound exactly the same without the, but actually we've worked out a live trio version of it, which we're going to play at Big Ears. And I think it's really cool. It's very stunning. So where Lisa does the piano part on her guitar, right? And which is just, and it still works, really well. But and I'm glad we're going to be able to play it because I love that song too. It's one of my favorite songs on the album. But that was part of the learning curve, right?
So we were talking about the song Nurse Redline there, which we're going to hear in one moment. And I just wanted to mention again, the Cornelius ED Trio is playing at Big Ears at the end of this month. So just check out Big Ears online. That is in Tennessee. This incredible music and poetry and writing festival, which I've never been to, but man, I wish I was going to be there. So now let's hear this wonderful song with a great beat that Cornelius and I were just talking about.
Jacob's packing up the overflow. Nest red line, their full time patron saint of the left behind. As your world on loose, who's going to rescue you?
Red Line by the Cornelius Eady Trio. Cornelius told me also that he wrote many, many songs. He was incredibly prolific during the pandemic. So hopefully in the future we'll hear those as well, maybe on the next album. Anyway, go get that album, Don't Get Dead, Pandemic Folk Songs by the Cornelius Eady Trio. Check it out on Bandcamp. So let's pivot a bit here, because Cornelius Eady is prolific in many ways. He's also a renowned poet. One of his most celebrated collections is called Brutal Imagination, which is included in this wonderful book called Hard-Headed Weather, which is what I've been reading a lot lately. It's really incredible. And within this book, Hard-Headed Weather, is a collection of poems. Let's turn to page here. And the collection is called Lucky House, and it includes a poem about Cairo, New York, which is how I first discovered Cornelius's work about 15 years ago. It was published, this poem was published in The New Yorker. We had just moved here about a year before that. And while a lot of people hadn't heard of this town that we had moved to, some saw that poem and shared it with me. And I had this overwhelming sense of pride, even though I didn't know Cornelius. But I recognized a wonderful poem. And now, obviously, he's and has been an incredible poet. So I asked him to read this poem about the town just down the road here, Cairo, New York. And here we go. Let me cue that up.
York.
Hold on one moment, please.
Cairo, New York. The town near our house isn't fancy, but it is ripe. At present, it is still on the wrong side of the Hudson River, but there's potential. What happened in Woodstock, what happened in Red Hook, what's happening in Catskill could easily happen here. Our streets are sad in the way our bodies are sad as we dream of our beautiful selves. Floating, light, light-filled, transcendent. How could anyone have missed or overlooked us? Even with our bad haircuts, our paunchy clothes, our gin mill mouths. One day, some car drives by, and the rich folk who hunt for cut-rate rubies slow down. And here we are, they think, all ready to be scrubbed.
Pretty terrific, right? That's Cornelius Eady reading from the collection, which I have to recommend. It's called Lucky House. It's in Hard-Headed Weather. Go check this book out. A book of poetry. And, of course, he wrote a lot of poems at that time. He said he actually wrote and edited a lot of them while he was on a trip in Italy. But a lot of them are about his experience moving here to Acre, his experience dealing with a house for the first time. And these poems are both lyrical and beautiful, but also very funny, especially if you've owned a house. So Cornelius and I spoke for, close to 90 minutes. And one of my favorite parts of our conversation was when he started talking about teaching and the creative writing workshops he runs and all of the wisdom he tries to pass along to his students. And he talked also a lot about luck and the way luck operates in our lives. So I'd like to play a bit of that. Check this out, me and Cornelius talking.
People don't like to admit how much luck is a factor in anybody's writing career. And I just think, oh yeah, I was just great at it. Then the New Yorker came and I just, Well, it doesn't work that way. Usually it's that the New Yorker came because you knew somebody said yes to you, and then they gave you the name of the person who then says yes to you because that person vouches for you, right? It's not predestined, right? And every writer that I know, if you scratch their story, the origin story, so to speak, you will find the person, right, who opens the door. You will find the person that says, yeah, kid, you too, right? Or I think you belong here. Yeah, come on, you too, right? And, yes is that kind of moment. Now, the other thing I say about luck, of course, you have to be prepared for the moment the door opens, right? Which is also why you're in the workshop, right? You're trying to prepare yourself for the moment when the door opens, and so that window opens, the door opens, suddenly there you are and you got the goods. Well, you don't have the goods. If you don't have the goods, suddenly they go on to the next person, right? But if you're there and you've got the goods, suddenly you go on to the next thing. You get to go through the door, go on to the next thing, then goes on to the next thing, and then off you go. I don't know how ambitious you guys are. You'll show me, right? Ambition isn't a bad thing, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's an evil thing. It's just, in fact, in some ways, I tell them that when they sit at the table, that's ambition, right? If you decided to test yourself, right, by applying to a program, I think I'm good enough to be in a program. I think I belong at this table. That's ambition, right? It may not be, I want to be at this table, I'll kill anybody who gets in my way. It may not be that kind of ambition, but it isn't ambitious enough to know, I want to find out. That's what I did. I think we've all had that moment. We wanted to test ourselves by somebody who wasn't us, right? Or our friends. Right, or our buddies, or our family. Depending on what family you live, sometimes your family supports you. Sometimes your family is your mystery to your family, and your friends will always be your friends. But at a certain point, the ambition works in such a way that you want to find out whether somebody who doesn't know you from Adam or Eve will simply say, yeah, that I like that. That's good. That's right. I got you. You got something, kid. That was my mentor and an Empire State, Srila Ray. Who was from India and then went over to the Iowa workshop, got some scholarships, went to the Iowa workshop, then went up to the University of Buffalo, got married and moved to Rochester. When I met her, she was teaching at an Empire State, luckily for me. And she was the person, I got great affirmation from different people. Joanna Mason, my high school teacher, really helped me so much, can tell you. How grateful I am for that we met, but it was Srila, who was the practicing poet, who was published, who had a book out that just came out, and it was just really a pro. It was a pro, right?
And she read the stuff, you know. I was transferring over from the Buffalo Center, you know, back to Rochester. That's how I got in. I could only get in by going to the Buffalo Center for a while, then transfer over to Rochester. She read my stuff, and she said, and it wasn't a gush. It wasn't like, God, you're a genius. This is fabulous. It was like, yeah, there's something there. You're not there yet. You know, you're not there yet, but you know, yeah, you're good. It's good. It's good. It's good. You know, and that was the best thing she could have told me, right? It was, you know, it was really, from my point of view, that was the best thing she could have told me. It wasn't sort of like, oh, you're a genius, man. Do whatever you want. It'd be really cool. It was like, you're approaching it, right? And I think that's probably the safest thing you say to a student. You're approaching it. You're not there yet. You're approaching it, right? You're going to get there. I think you're going to get there. But you have to. There's some other stuff that you have to get seasoned with, you know, before you really start stepping up into this other zone, right? You know, and that was really good. And that was luck. You know, that was his luck. It was lucky enough to run to that person. But again, this idea about having these wonderful encounters because of the structure of Empire State, right, which allows me to, you know, it allowed me to simply just concentrate on what I really thought I wanted to do, which was writing poetry. Before that, I went to community college, and really what it was I was just trying to figure out a way of just being able to concentrate on being a poet. But you know, that's the ambition, right? Right. I didn't even know what that would lead to. Right, I know I wanted to keep doing it as long as I possibly could. Right, you know, and so you sort of like go off on your adventure, you know, because you're just trying to see how long you roll the ball of string out, yeah, the yarn out, right? How long can I go before someone says, "No, kid, get a job"? Right. Wake up, grow up, and get a job. But I was thinking, until I hit that wall, I'm just gonna keep going and see how far I can get. And that leads to one thing that leads to the other thing that leads to the other thing that leads, you know, it leads here.
And here you are with many jobs, plenty of jobs, but all creative first jobs, which I think is really the dream.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Cornelius Eady. Jeez, imagine getting to be a student of his. You'd learn a lot. I want to thank Cornelius for taking the time to speak with me. And I want to encourage all of you in the Catskills and Hudson Valley area to check out his poetry. My well-worn copy here in front of me of Hard-Headed Weather, which includes the wonderful poem about Carol. And also go check out his new album. Here's some Nina Simone.
I lost myself on a cool, damp night. Gave myself in that misty light. Was hypnotized by strange delight under a lilac tree. I made wine from the lilac tree, put my heart in its recipe. It makes me see what I want to see, be what I want to be. I think more than I want to think, do things I never should do. I drink much more than I ought to drink, because it brings me back you. Lilac wine unsteady like my love. Listen to me, I cannot see clearly. Isn't that he coming to me nearly here? Lilac wine is sweet and heady. Where's my love? Lilac wine, I feel unsteady. Where's my love? Listen to me, why is everything so hazy? Isn't that he? Or am I going crazy, dear? Lilac wine, I feel I'm ready.
Whoa. Nina Simone, Lilac Wine. This felt pretty good today. Thank you all for joining me on the Ginger Radio Hour, the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 10 a.m. We've been listening today to a playlist full of vinyl, born of the poems by Cornelius Eady, and I'm going to take you out with Thelonious Monk, Round Midnight, on cassette tape. I've never used the tape player in here, so wish me luck. Check out justinmaiman.com for the Ginger newsletter, and join me on the next Ginger Radio Hour. Thanks much. ¶¶